Our collect today uses the image of the waters of chaos. Isn't that pretty apt for us right now? COVID-19, tornadoes at midnight, a political arena that to me resembles nothing so much as a bar fight, skittish stock markets, and wars, bombings, yikes. What's a body to do to deal with all of this? As we deal with chaos, we need to make a choice. And one choice is to protect ourselves literally at all costs, encasing ourselves in physical, spiritual, and psychological hazmat suits. Hoarding supplies. Have you tried to buy any sanitizer recently? Hoarding supplies. It does expire, by the way. So if you bought a lot, share it. Not caring if others have access to what they need. There is a picture on Facebook of a woman that has like 10 surgical masks on her face. So she doesn't care if someone in an OR needs the masks. She's going to take 10 of them. People are acting like snarling dogs protecting a bone. The other choice we have is to be smart, but to continue to live according to the golden rule, to take care of each other and protect the most vulnerable. And for us in the Episcopal Church, to daily consider the way of life set out in our baptismal covenant. How fascinating that long before COVID-19 and all the rest of this was unavoidable news, Cindy and I chose the lessons we chose for today, way back in early February. We chose these lessons for our Lenten series because these lessons from an old book are all about today's choices. Between me and we, pessimism or hope, panic or peace, doubt or confidence. Yesterday, I read a fascinating interview about how pandemics actually change history. Professor Snowden, retired professor from Yale, has written a book that notes that viruses exploit weaknesses not just in humans, but in entire cultures. It's a matter of logic, of how survival of the fittest begins by decimating the weakest. When human cultures create large populations of people who do not have access to adequate food, shelter, and care, viruses will take hold in them, especially first, and spread freely among them, and the viruses often strengthen in that process. So when inevitably healthier folks are exposed, they are now more vulnerable than if the virus never really got started, because the first people exposed never got really sick. Healthy people are much more likely to survive, and the time to prevent a problem for many is by making as sure as possible that there are as few as possible who are susceptible, weakened, when they're exposed. All this must be in place long before the first sneeze. No, that was before the first sneeze. So a pandemic exposes the fault lines in cultures that permit large classes of people to be poor, to be vulnerable. Professor Snowden also noted something else about cultural attitudes towards disease. During the Black Death in the 14th century, long before we knew about germs, the church insisted that its members face the reality that they could die quite suddenly, and to ask themselves the big questions about how they choose to live and whether they were prepared to die. Personal observation by this parish priest is that people who have faced their own mortality and made peace with their God, with their family and friends, and with themselves, approach their last breath with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the life that they've had, and most importantly, they face the next step without fear. There's a prayer in our prayer book that asks us to be saved from an unprepared death. It's a good prayer. That's what our lessons are about today. In the midst of chaos, making choices on how to live, facing our fears about both living and dying, and finding that precious place of community, peace, hope, and confidence. First, the lessons teach that we must acknowledge the chaos. It's real. I don't care how wealthy you are, there are some things you just can't control in life. Everything can change in an instant, right, Beth? Everything can change in an instant. It's part of the fabric of creation. But we don't face the chaos alone, ever. The Holy Spirit of God is still brooding over the waters of chaos today, still bringing forth all life at every moment. The Holy Spirit still works in us, filling us with amazing gifts that empower us to face any kind of chaos. For those of us in the church, we have a very clear direction shown to us in the life, death, and life beyond death of Jesus, God with skin on. We are to call on the Lord and follow the thoughts and ways of God, not humans. And doing so will make us like trees planted by streams of water bearing fruit. Now consider fruit. Do trees eat their own fruit? No. They may make more trees. But most fruit is used to feed others, animals, people. The fruits help others to prosper. Following God's thoughts makes it clear that God is not about me, but we. We are to help each other. We're to be the common that looks for the common good, doing what's best for the other, not self-protection that costs others. In the book of Acts, now again, remember I said, be smart. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. But I am saying you can't do it in a way that costs others. In the book of Acts, we read about the Ethiopian eunuch. This person had traveled some 2,500 miles one way to go from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. Now, he may have been a very important person in Ethiopia, but he would not have even been allowed inside the temple gates when he got there. Because in Israel, in the temple, no one who was a eunuch was to be allowed in. It's right in Deuteronomy. He was not permitted. He would have had to stand outside the walls. Yet the brand new Messiah of Israel, through Philip, reaches out to the eunuch and he says, come as you are, all are welcome, no exceptions. And with joy, the Ethiopian enters the waters of Christ's death, dies to the ways of rejection, oppression, and pessimism, and rises to new life and the promises of the reign of God, joyful, filled with hope. And then we have dear Peter. Peter calls out to his Lord in the night. His Lord responds, and Peter confidently steps out of the boat onto the water, into the wind and the water, and he begins to walk on water. This, of course, is not really possible, and he knows better. Not only knows better, but as a lifelong fisherman, he also knows about strong winds and big waves and what they do to a boat. Those waters can swamp a boat, let alone a human being. And his confidence evaporates. He panics. He doubts himself. Peter doesn't doubt Jesus. Jesus is still standing there on the water. Nothing wrong with Jesus. Peter panics and doubts himself, his ability, with the help of God, to face the chaos. This is terrible, of course. But then Peter does something very right. He asks for help. I have found that among those of us who have plenty of food and know where we're going to sleep tonight, we're pretty good about giving help, but boy, are we bad at asking for help. But Peter asks for help. He calls on the Lord while he is near. All right, there we are, right back to Isaiah again. Peter calls for help. Jesus gives it. The panic ends. And Peter and the rest of the guys in the boat get God's peace. Peter's confidence after that grows step by step as he follows Jesus day by day through the death, through the resurrection, until he is so strong in the Lord. His confidence is so great that he is able to face the chaos of death for the sake of the good news of Jesus. Based on these lessons, finding ways to use our beans should be pretty easy. One way, of course, would be come to the Last Things First workshop at 11:45 and take seriously the wisdom of having a prepared death. Another is to use that Signs of Life calendar that I showed you. And the prayers of the people in the bulletin. I changed the prayers of the people for 8 o'clock. You get the same ones as 10 o'clock. But I did that because they have a lot of focus on the baptismal covenant, on the great litany that we use at Ash Wednesday, and ways to pattern your life after Jesus's, ways to live into the baptismal covenant. And all of these give you ways to look for opportunities to choose God's thoughts and God's ways as we go about our daily lives. Each day as we face the chaos of life, we will need to choose me or we. Pessimism or hope, panic or peace, doubt or confidence. To make this daily choice, remember one thing, call on the Lord, who is near. Remember that the Holy Spirit still broods over creation, the Spirit that can, does, and will empower each one of us with everything we need to walk on the waters of chaos each and every day.